It's good to be here. I'm really thankful to be here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Matt Mallon. I've attended this church since 2009 when it came to this building. I've been here a long time, and I've been able to, you know, go to youth group here and grow up in this church and go to all these D-Nows that we've had. So this is my sixth, right?
Yep.
Sixth D-Now that I've been able to attend, and I've been really blessed because growing up, it was really influential for me. It helped me understand a lot about how I'm supposed to live, how I'm supposed to follow God, helped me understand more about my faith. And I've been really thankful for the opportunity to pour back into that in some manner. For you don't know where I'm at, I'm a senior at Lancaster Bible College. I'm a pre-seminary major, so I'm practicing to become a pastor right now. So I'm really thankful that God has gifted me with the opportunity to be able to give back in that capacity this year. So we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to start working through the same passages that we've been working through this weekend. I'm going to recap. Most majority of this is going to be recap of what we talked about Friday night, what we talked about Saturday night, and then what we need to talk about today, which is, you know, important as well. So let's pray, and we'll dive into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here today. We're thankful for the blessing that we have to be able to gather as a body of believers and learn about you, Lord, to worship you. Through music, through your word, through preaching, through communion with each other, community with each other. Lord, I pray that you just bless this service. Bless the words that come out of my mouth. Let them not be my own. Let them not be things from me, but from you, Lord. Words from you that are used to influence and teach and guide the people here today. I pray that you open the ears of this congregation to hear you. Open the hearts to receive your message. And open their eyes to see you and the world around them. Lord, I pray for just continual safety in these coming weeks as we face a lot of uncertainty. And I pray that you just continually guide us and help us to put our faith in you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, so youth group this year has been going through what book?
James.
They've been going through James. They know a lot about it, too. I was here on Wednesday night when they were doing a big quiz called Kahoot, and they did 45 questions, and they were busting out the answers right and left really well. So they've got a good understanding of it, and I've been really thankful that they have an understanding of it because it makes my job a lot easier to preach on it. So we were talking a lot about one of the main points of James is our actions. It's the things that we do, what we say, what we act out, what we plan with our life. That's one of the main things in James is our actions as a result of our faith. We're not saved by it, but just the fact that when we have faith, we live it out. We do the things that we're called to do. And this section of James is no different. 4:13 through 17 are the verses we're in. James 4:13 through 17. And so this weekend, we really wanted to dive into James, into that those verses of James and see something that can maybe convict us all. See something that really I think we're all guilty of at times, which is making plans and not having God in them. Making plans for our life, making, you know, different things that we want to happen, things that we're planning on doing, but not consulting God and not including Him throughout the entire process. And so we started this we split it into three chunks. We talked about James 4:13 through 16, 4:13, 14, and 16. We skipped 15. I know it's weird, but it's just how the verses mesh well together. So 4:13, 14, and 16 on Friday night, where we talked about what we're doing wrong, why it's foolish to do that thing, and why it's wrong to do that thing. And then yesterday, we talked about how we can do it right, how we can actually actively seek the will of God. And today, we're going to talk about actually doing it and why we need to do it and why we make sure it's done. So I'm going to recap throughout these days. I'm going to start with Friday. I'll read through these verses, and then we'll just start going through them verse by verse. Let's start in 4:13. And lead to 17. So join me in reading God's word. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you a mist that appears a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. We thank God for his word. So, starting in verse 13, on Friday night, like I said, we started to break down what the actual issue is, what we do wrong. So let's read verse 13, and we'll break that verse down. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. So the first thing we said is, come now, you who say. We're looking at how James gets the attention of his readers. He says, come now, as in like, listen right now. All of you who are saying this thing, the verb used there, you who say, and even in the Greek, is not about, you know, you who have said this in the past, or you who used to say this, or you who might say this in the future. It's about you who are saying this right now. The people who are believers in Christ who are actively doing these things wrong. And when we read the scripture, when we read the infallible word of God, the living word of God that is applied to all believers, all of us right now, we can read this into our own lives. We can read, come now, you who are saying. This is really convicting for me because a lot of times I'll look at it and be like, come now, you, Matt, who say. Because it reminds me of when I do this wrong, of when I need to be convicted of this. So he says, come now, you who say. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And so we broke this down into five different plans that they decide to make. Five different plans that they make. We said, first, when they're going to go. They're going to go today or tomorrow. Where they're going to go, into such and such a town. James just uses like, you know, we're going to go in this place or that place just to show that they're going somewhere. How long they're going to be there. They say they're going to spend a year. What they're going to be doing. They're going to be trading, doing merchant stuff, mercantile trading and marketing and stuff like that. And then they're going to talk about what the end result is. The end result is to make a profit. So they make all five of these plans. They make all five of these plans that seem like a good thing. And is it wrong to make plans by itself? Is it wrong to make plans? No, it's good to have plans. This weekend was planned, and I think that's a good thing. It's planned if I go out to go to dinner with somebody. Is that a bad thing? Not by itself. But when we looked at the scripture and I asked kids, what's missing? What's missing from the plan, guys? God. God is what's missing from the plan. They're not consulting God. They're not going to Him in prayer. They're leaving God out of their own plans for their lives. And we realize that this is bad because God's not in it. When God is ignored, it becomes a form of idolatry. We are holding our own thoughts about our lives higher than what God views on our lives. It becomes worldly. And so then we talked about in verse 14 why it's foolish, first of all. Why is it foolish to make plans without consulting God? And so we looked at two different aspects of God that show us that it's foolish. First, let's look at verse 14 and then we'll break it down. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So that first part, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. This is James telling us that as humans, we don't have any clue about the future. We can have all the plans we want, but things are going to catch us off guard. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. I have no clue. I taught them a word that is the idea of our minds are infinitesimally smaller than God's. That means to the most infinite, the most greatest amount smaller than God's. And then I talked to them another word, omniscient. It's a word in the song that we sang earlier today, omniscient, all-knowing. It's the idea that God knows everything that's going to happen, everything that ever has happened, and everything that will happen within time and without time. And we have several verses that point us to that I have here that I read to them, and I'm going to read to you as well. Some of these verses, Psalm 147, 4 and 5. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. 1 John 3, 20, part B. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Psalm 139, 4. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Matthew 10, 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so when we read those verses, when we read the true, infallible word of God, it helps us to understand God knows everything. God knows every single thing that's going to happen, whether it's 5 seconds from now, 5 hours from now, 5 days, 5 years, or 5 centuries. God knows it all, and he understands everything going on. And so it seems really foolish to us when we make plans for our future and we don't consult the God who knows all of it when we don't even know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. Another reason that it's foolish is the next part of the verse is the fact that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful as well. He said he's omnipotent. He says, what is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. He compares our life to this flash of a bit of nature. It's like when you're driving after it rains, or and there's like a field or like a valley beside you, and you see all the mist in it, and you look away from it for a second, and you look at the road a little bit, and you look back, and the mist is gone. The sun came up and it heated away, or a wind came in and it blew it to the side, and it's gone. It disappears in a moment's notice, without any trace. It's there for a second and then gone. And that's what we are here. We're here for a second. In the grand scheme of things, we're not here that long. God, however, is eternal. God was here before time began and is going to be here after time ends. He's eternal. He's all-powerful and in complete sovereign control over this universe. He is the creator, our sovereign king, who's in charge of everything. We don't have control over a lot of things. In fact, we have control over very little. And some of the verses that I use to show God's omnipotence are in here. Listen to Psalm 115:3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. Job 42:2. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. And then this last one, it's a proverb. Proverbs 16:9. It's one that really applies to what we're talking about today, about making plans. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. We can have all sorts of different plans for our lives. We can plan every little step about the rest of our lives. God establishes our steps. God guides where we go. God controls the world around us. God is in control. So when we take those two ideas, the fact that he's omniscient, all-knowing, understanding of every single thing, and that he's omnipotent, all-powerful, and in control, sovereignly in control over every single thing, it's foolish of us not to consult him when we make plans. It's foolish of us not to pray to him and include him within our plans and our lives. And so we talked about why it's foolish, and then we talked about why it's wrong. If we look at verse 16, we hopped around because this is the way the verses make a lot of sense. When you look at 16, it says this, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Again, we have that as it is. It's that as it is right now, you, the people who are reading this, and sometimes us as well, if we're honest with ourselves, most of the times us, you who read this, you as it is, you boast in your arrogance. So I'm going to break down a little bit of the Greek for you. That word, boast in, kalkistein. I did like a search on that word in a software that I have, and one of the things that it's used often, those words, whenever kalkistein, boast in, is used in the New Testament, it's always negative. It's always bad. It's like, you boast in your sin, you boast in your works, you boast in yourself. And it's no different here. Here it's boasting in your own arrogance. It's just, again, nailing into their minds that this is a bad thing. That you're boasting in your arrogance. That word arrogance in the Greek is alatsoneis. Alatsoneis. And alatsoneis actually has a longer, more comprehensive Greek meaning. And it means a proud confidence in one's own knowledge. And whenever it's used, it's actually often implied that knowledge isn't actually there. So it's a proud confidence in the knowledge that you think you have. And so he says, as it is right now, you're boasting in this proud confidence and a knowledge that you think you have, but you don't. It's very sobering to read that and understand that every time we think we have a knowledge of what's going to happen and we make these plans, we don't. It's perceived. And when we do that, it's actually evil. All such boasting, all boasting like that, boasting in the knowledge that we think we have is evil. And we talked about why it's evil. It's evil because it's prideful. It's prideful against God. Whenever we make plans without him and we boast in our own arrogance, It's showing that we assume we know more than God. It's showing that we think we know more than Him, and we're holding our own standards and understanding of life as higher than what God understands and knows of our life. It's idolatry. It's bad. It's sinful. And it's something that I'm pretty sure we've all done or do. I know I'm guilty of it. I've done it all the time. I've done it with my jobs. I've done it with my colleges. I've done it with a lot of things. But it's something that God has really convicted me of as well. And I'll talk a little bit more on that in a bit. And so that's what we talked about on Friday night. We were talking about James 13, 14, and 16. And then last night, we switched to a little bit better news. A little nicer. James 4, 15, which says this, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." And so here we went through what it actually means to do instead, what we should do instead. And we broke it up into four different chunks. We said, first, instead you ought to say. Here he's telling them, don't just take what I'm telling you right now and add it on to the end. Don't just make this a little part of your planning process. Include this from the beginning. Substitute it. Take what I'm about to say and put that in place of you making all these plans, because you need to make sure God comes first. I used the analogy last night of baking a cake. You need sugar, flour, butter, eggs, cocoa powder, whatever you want to put in your cake. Not cocoa powder. Olivia said no cocoa powder. So you put something in there. And so let's say you take all those ingredients and you mix them all up, except for the eggs. You keep the eggs out just because you're not sure if you really want the eggs in there yet. And you put it in the oven and you start baking it. And you pull it out and then you add the eggs and then you bake it the rest of the way. It's not going to turn out well. You're going to have a burnt, caramelized mess of sugar and flour with sunny-side-up eggs on top. And it's going to be pretty disgusting. It's not what you wanted. It's not what was supposed to happen. And it's disgusting. It's a mess. And it's the same way if we try to add on, understanding the will of God after we already start doing all our plans. If we make all these plans for our life and then we go out and start doing those things, it's going to get messed up. God's gonna make it happen the way He wants it to. And you're going to notice that it's not going to turn out well. The cake's not going to be baked right. And so He says, you need to start from the beginning with God in your plans. Put Him in there from the very beginning. And then He says this. He says, if the Lord wills. And so here we started talking about, I went over what we talked about the night before, about how God is in control. God is all-knowing. And I added another word. We had omniscient, omnipotent, and omnibenevolent. He's all good. God is completely good. It's the way that we can trust His will, because we know He's in charge and we know He knows it all, but we can definitely trust Him because we understand that He is good as well. That's not saying that only good things to us are going to happen. There's going to be suffering. That's definitely a part of James as well. But we understand that all those things that happen to us are ultimately good for God. They're glorifying to Him. And we understand that God is good. Again, I have several verses. Let's go through some of them. Psalm 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all of His works. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Proverbs 15, 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And 1 John 4, 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. All these verses speak to our understanding that God is good. God has been good, God is good, and God will always be good. And so when we think about the will of God and we get scared of where it's going to lead us, we have to understand that no matter where it leads us, it's ultimately for good and for the glorification of God. And so we looked at that, if the Lord wills. And then we looked at this next part, which is a little tougher to talk about at times. If the Lord wills, we will live. This means that sometimes the Lord doesn't will us to live. None of us understand or know when we're going to die. Death is certain, that's for sure, but we don't know when. We're not sure. But James phrases this in a very nonchalant way. He says, if the Lord wills it, we will live. And I had to say, well, how can James be so nonchalant? How can he just like throw that in there like that? And that's when I had the opportunity last night to talk about the gospel, which I was really thankful for. Because the only way that we can have any comfort in our death, any comfort in the understanding that our death could come at any time, is the understanding that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have hope in eternity. through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, we have our sins wiped away. So that when we die in this life, we're in eternity with God. And that is a beautiful, beautiful piece of assurance that we have. It's a promise that he's given to us that when we have faith in his Son, we can rest assured in that. One example of this is over the summer, for those of you that know and some of you that don't, my family went through a little bit of a tough time. My grandmother has dementia. And there was one point last May when she went out early in the morning to do something and came back in, parked the car and couldn't get it parked, and her car rolled down the hill and crashed into a tree. And so she's been living with us since, but during that time, over that summer, she had to have a lot of surgeries and a lot of different procedures. And there's one particular surgery that was pretty dangerous. We weren't sure really what was going to be the outcome. We knew there was a possibility of death. And so my mom had to have a conversation with my grandmother. She had to sit down with her and say, "Mom, let's talk about faith. Let's talk about Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus is the only way that you can be saved? And understand that this is what your faith is?" My grandmother said yes. She affirmed it and she understood it. And while we were still afraid of death for her, while it was still something that we were sad about, still something we could mourn, still something that could hurt, we understood that that's okay. Because if she died, she was going to be somewhere where she wouldn't need any more surgeries. And she wouldn't have dementia. And she'd be able to see her husband again. And she'd be with God. And there's all these beautiful things as an outcome because of the hope that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we talked about, how we can be okay when it comes down to God's will. Death is an inconvenience at best. There's hope. There's a reason Paul says to live is Christ. As we live for him, and to die is gain. So, we talked about we will live. And then we said, if it's his will that we live, we'll do this or that. This or that could mean a lot of things. This or that could be following a different job path. This or that could be interacting with somebody. This or that could be like anything. It literally means this or that. But what it specifically means is doing this or that that God has led you to do. Doing this or that that is following the will of God. Doing this or that that God leads you to. And so we talked about, well, how do we understand what our this or that is? How do we understand where God is leading us to live? How do we understand these things? And we said there are three main ways that we understand how God calls us to live. First, prayer. Prayer is something we take for granted all the time. I know I do, and I'm sure all of us do. Because prayer is a direct conversation and communication line to our God, our sovereign King and Creator. Every time you close your eyes, or you don't close your eyes, it doesn't matter. Every time that you pray, whether it's in your mind or through your mouth, every time you pray to God, he hears that. That's direct communication that hears every single time, and we take that for granted a lot. It's a way that we can communicate with our Creator. And so we can pray to him. We can petition to him. "Lord, guide me. Show me where I'm supposed to be. Help me do these things. Be in my plans." And then after prayer, we have Scripture. Reading the book. We have God's infallible, living, God-breathed word in front of us that teaches us all the ways we're supposed to live our lives, all the ways even we're supposed to feel at times, and how we can fix our emotions, and how we can interact with Christians and non-Christians, and how we're supposed to live. It tells us everything. And when we align our lives with what we read in the Scriptures properly, then we're aligning our lives with the will of God. We're aligning our lives with the this or that. Within his will. And then lastly, the last one is affirmation of the body of believers. Having other, more mature, more spiritual people affirm your calling. Affirm whatever that idea, whatever your plans are, having that affirmation. D-Now has been affirmed time and time again by the people around it. I know personally for me, one story that I have is an area of my life where I did not seek God at first. And then he pulled me away from it. See, growing up in high school, I wanted to be a science teacher. That was my goal. I wanted to go to college, get like a degree in biology and secondary education, and then go back and be a science teacher at Greencastle because I knew they paid well. So like that was my plan. That was my plan the whole time. And I never prayed about it, and I never thought about it, and I just like, this is what's going on. And then one time, my youth pastor, JB, and I went to visit a college. And to the right, it was like we entered in a room, and there was a big circle. And to the right was like the science and secondary education, and to the left was ministry. And I walked in, full intentions of going right. And he was like, okay, which way are we going? And I was like, left. And he, like, it wasn't something I wanted to do. It wasn't even a decision I just made. It just was a feeling. And it was the first inkling of a feeling. And so I went left, and I started to learn about that path. I started to learn about ministry, about pastoral ministry. And I started to pray about it. I started to get more into the Word to understand what it meant to become a pastor and the qualifications and the things like that. And so I went in there, and then I started bringing it up to the people around me. I brought it up to my brother, who's a pastor. I brought it up to my youth pastor. I brought it up to my parents. I brought it up to the pastor here, and I brought it up to people around me. And slowly and surely, I kept getting affirmation that this could be good, that this is where God is calling me into my life. And that affirmation of the body of believers, those who are more spiritually mature than me, could help me and guide me. And that was the third way that I was affirmed, that it was affirmed to me that my this or that was going into ministry. Now, this or that isn't always ministry. It can be literally just, you know, it could be a ministry here. It could be taking a different job. It could be a move. It could be big things, and it can be small things. It could be having coffee with somebody and having to bring up a certain topic, or just having coffee and praying that the Lord guides your conversation. All these this's or that's, it could be anything. But just make sure they're grounded in God's Word. Make sure they're grounded in His guidance and His guidelines for our lives. And so we talked about that last night. We talked about what it means, how we figure out the this or that. And lastly, this verse is short. Verse 4:17. This is actually one of the Strive's memory verses for this year. I didn't plan on this, but can any of you recite this verse, at least in the way you know? You want to go ahead? We can try it again. Yes, perfect. It's a sin to know what you ought to do and not do it. And so that's in the NLT. And then here in mine it says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's sin. For them it is sin. See, the key thing here is we can understand God's will in our life. We can understand our this or that. We can understand the things He calls us to do. But if we don't do it, it's sin. Once you have the knowledge of those things and you don't do it, it's sin. It's what we call a sin of omission. There's two types of sins. There's sin of commission and sin of omission. Sin of commission is sin that you commit. You do something you shouldn't do, like murder or lying. Sin of omission is not doing the thing that you should do, like loving others, like living humbly, like living in aligning with God's will, like aligning with the things He calls us to do. It makes me think about if I felt that call and I had all that affirmation on being a pastor and going into ministry and I ignored it, I'd be sinning against God because I'd be actively defying what He wants from me. Actively defying what He wants from me. And so when we understand that, we understand that it's a sin to not do what we understand in His lives. It gives us a greater understanding that we have to go out and do it. Look into Scripture. Pray. Understand where God calls you in your heart. Make these plans, but have God included in them from the very beginning so they align with His will. And when you do that, do it. Go out and live it. Don't just say it and say, I know where God wants me, and then sit back down. Do it. It's important. And so this whole weekend, we've been talking about James 4:13-17. We've been talking about the plans that we have. We've been talking about the plans that we want to make. We've been talking about how God needs to be incorporated in those plans because He's owed that as our Creator, and it's not going to work without Him. And when we don't include Him, it's idolatry of ourselves, and we ignore Him. And so I'm really thankful again for the opportunity to be able to bring myself back and speak here at DNOW. I was really touched in my life as I spoke, as I was a student at DNOW, and even as a worship leader at DNOW, that I'm thankful to be able to bring such an important message of understanding the plans God has for us. Understanding that His will is good. Understanding that His will guides us and that we need to abide in it. And when that's understood, all that's left is to do it. Do it. So, please pray with me. And we'll go ahead, and I think the worship team's going to go on. So pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time that we have today to be within Your Word. We're thankful for the blessings that You've given us to understand how You call us to live and how You call us to abide within Your will, within the desires that You have for us, that we can actively seek through prayer and through Scripture and through the affirmation of other believers. Lord, I pray that in our lives right now, You comfort us with Your will, Lord. You comfort us in a time of a lot of unknowns with the sickness around us, Lord. I pray that You just continue to comfort us with the fact that You're good and You're powerful. You are powerful and in control, and You know everything that's going to happen. Give us the courage to live with You in mind, Lord. Give us the courage to act out the desires that You put on our hearts. Lord, I pray that You just continually guide us within our lives. Help us not to follow the plans that we make without You. Help us not to even make plans without You, Lord, but have You incorporated in every single thing we decide to do. Lord, we praise You for the blessings You've given us. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, which convicts us, Your Son, who's died for us, and the Father, who sends Him. We thank You for everything. We pray this all in Your name. Amen.